And for a lot of people, fear can look like embarrassment. It can look like self-doubt. It's just an uncomfortable position to be in. But people who are successful are people who aren't scared of failure. They just know fear is part of the process or the journey. Mm. I see failure as one step closer to a win. Mm.
Many people are stuck in the place that they're in largely because of the fact that they're not around people that challenge them. Mm-hmm. And it's not that they don't know those people don't challenge them, it's that they're scared to be alone.
I am going to make a personal commitment to execution over perfection.
Right now, you know, my company is making, you know, over $200,000 a month.
If you give me a piece of music, what am I going to play? And you put that same, you know, piece of music or elements of music in the hands of Michael Jackson, what is that going to create? Mm-hmm. Little becomes much when you place it in the hands of the master.
Is it gonna start?
It's on Do Not Disturb.
Oh, okay.
If my mom call, it will go.
Heard. I'm ready, man. Cool. Well, welcome to another edition of Believers Breed, the podcast, where the aim is to help people embrace self-awareness, self-confidence, and self-worth. I sit down with proven leaders, entrepreneurs that have tackled their space, to say, not only because of mindset, but because of skill set, and just what that means over time, developing your mind, developing your skills over time. This is a crazy interview because it's happened before.
Deja vu.
So last time we recorded this, JP, myself, I jacked up the audio. And so I have double checked this time to make sure that we are good to go. And so I'm looking at it right now. I see our levels. I see we're recording. We're, you know, just double checking. But I'm excited to be back because I think that even in this space and time that we've had away from the interview, like, I know that you've learned and evolved. And so I think what you're going to be able to give today is going to be dope. Before we get started, I want everybody to go out and make sure you go to YouTube and subscribe to my channel, JP Believes. I am trying to get my subscribers up. So y'all help me go out and view videos because I'm sitting down with dope people like Shots by Nick who are giving away free game. And so we're going to dive in with Shots by Nick today. Tell us who you are.
Oh, okay. So my name is Nikki Rumpf, and I am the owner of Shots by Nick Photography. I pretty much specialize in helping business owners, entrepreneurs tell their story through the lens of photography. So that's anything from e-commerce shoots, personal branding shoots, or brand campaigns. Literally, I'm your go-to source for that.
Hey. So what's crazy is we're sitting in her house and she has, what do you call it when you let somebody stay at your house? I don't know. But she fed us this morning too. And yeah, she has welcomed us in her home. And like when I was thinking about it, I was like, you've been in a house a long time. I feel like before any of my friends were in homes, you had a home.
Yeah.
And so I think that speaks a lot about who you are, always being forward thinking. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious to know where that mindset came from, because how long have you been in this house?
Yeah, so I bought my first house at 27. So I was 27, 34 now.
Single?
Single.
So she ain't depending on Joe Blow, you know. She's out here doing it. And so I think that, again, speaks to a lot of who she is. Mm-hmm. Where did that thinking come from?
I think the thinking pretty much came from just, like, life experiences. Mm-hmm. I don't even think, like, it's funny because people, when you think of buying a house, you think of it as a whole process. Like, you got to save your money. Like, it's literally a decision that you go into, like, okay, you know, this year I'm going to save up to, like, get this house or whatever. For me, I've always been like a saver just by nature, just again from life circumstances. I was at a point where like I didn't have like money and was able to provide for myself. And I said, I'll never be in this predicament again. And that's put me in like survivor mode where I just like for me to be comfortable, I have to have a certain X nest in my savings account. Mm. But long story short, with the house,
big mess.
I mean, to each his own. But long story short, like when I bought this house, it wasn't even intentional. It was literally, I was staying in an apartment and I got something in my mailbox like, hey, this could be your house for like $1,000 a month. Like, that's it. I was like, this is a joke. Like, because my rent costs more than that. So I was like, let me just look into that. You know what I mean? Because at that point, again, when you think of a house, I just see like $163,000. Who can afford that? Like, nobody. But I was like, let me just look into it. And I went, and it was legit. Like, rent would only be like this month. And I was like, let's run that. Let me go ahead and get a house. And since, again, since I was a saver by nature, I already had the money that I needed to be able to like close on a house. So that's how I got in the house. It wasn't anything intentional. It just fell in my path.
Dang, and real estate is crazy right now.
But this was back when the economy was great. Back when Obama was still president.
So you done made some strides with your house. I'll say strides.
Absolutely. Like, the prices definitely went up. Like, I've got a good little equity in it.
I like that. That's dope, man. So speaking about this whole, do you call yourself like a photographer in short conversations? If somebody's like, hey, what do you do? Are you like, I'm a photographer? Or do you say something else? Like, I'm a brand.
Oh, sometimes I'll just say entrepreneur.
Why?
Because I think a lot of people, when you just say you're a photographer, I almost feel like it minimizes yourself. Because I would say out of what I do, maybe 10% is actually photography. The rest of it is actually running a business.
And a lot of people don't know that because they pick up the camera. They develop these skills to shoot, not realizing it's a whole backstory and back, you know. So I think that's cool. When did you start with this camera? Because I remember you, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like doing some ad work, like Super Bowl something that you were working for a marketing agency.
So basically back then I used to work for Prime Sport, and they pretty much specialize in being your one-stop shop for if you wanted to go to like the Super Bowl, Daytona 500, you would go to them, and they were a ticket exchange, but they also could cover your hospitality and everything. So it was like all-inclusive, like sports hub type thing. So for them, at that point I had a camera, because again, previous to doing true photography, I had my own digital marketing agency, which was focused on helping small businesses expand their digital footprint. So I would typically start with their logo. From their logo, I would then do their website. And then from their website, I would manage their social media presence. So with that, the thing that was taking forever for me to like secure the bag was the images. I would take forever waiting on them to provide me with images for their website. They would give me like iPhone photos, different things like that, which were super poor quality. So I was like, hey, let me just go buy a camera and take the photos myself. But I bought the camera and it pretty much collected dust. And again, at that time I was working at Prime Sports. So I was like, my boss was like, hey, Nikki, don't you have a camera? Can you like take some photos? Like, why are you out there? Since I was the social media manager. So I was taking photos, but it was like on automatic. Like, I didn't really know what I was doing. It wasn't until later down the line that I picked up the camera and like took it seriously.
So the fact that you had to like, it was pulling teeth to get quality photos from entrepreneurs or small business owners. That is the big push that pushed you into being behind the camera yourself?
Yeah, so that was the only reason I bought it, because I was like, it was just taking them too long to get good photos. And again, you know, I was working with small black business owners. And if you know anything about that, when it comes to stock imagery and photography, it's, we are not well represented on like stock imagery sites and stuff like that. So it'll be like the images that people will try to pull from stock imagery, it doesn't match their brand or their target audience. So it's not a good connection or a synergy to put those type of images on your website.
And then what was the point at which you said, I want to do this for sure? Like, yes, I'm going to help out these small businesses to get some quality photos. But there's, I feel like for entrepreneurs, there's always this turning point where it's like, all right, I'm locked in. I'm about to do this for real, for real.
So, see, I would say it wasn't, it really wasn't until just most recently when I quit my job and decided to do full time that I was like, I'm only going to focus on business owners. Back then, like I said, when my camera was collecting dust, it was just from luck. Like, I had met this guy at this networking event because I had joined the Urban League because I really wanted to, like, expand my business network or like friends and stuff like that. But when I met him, he was like, you know, hi, my name is Chris. Like, I'm a photographer.
Hi, my name is Chris, and I'm a photographer.
But he was really, I thought that was cute because he's big on, like, he leads with his passion instead of what his true job was, because he's really IT for AT&T. Mm. But he told me he was a photographer. And I was like, oh, cool, you know, what kind of camera do you shoot with? And he said Nikon. And that just happened to be the camera that I had, which was Nikon, but mine was collecting dust. And I was just like, hey, you know, since we shoot with the same brand, would you mind just showing me how to get off like automatic mode so I can actually like do something with this camera that's collecting dust? And he was like, yeah, sure. So we linked up at a park. And then from that point on, he just like literally taught me all the fundamentals of like photography, stuff like that. And with me being like business minded, it's nothing for me to like stick a brand on it and monetize it. And I saw like with photography, unlike doing like branding for people and doing your logo and stuff, literally you take the photos and I get paid. Like I basically get paid before I even take the photos. So I was like, oh yeah, I need to put a brand around this and let's roll with it. Like I can get paid doing it.
So in this story, I find it very, very intriguing that Chris introduced himself as a photographer.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts around, especially in the networking space? Because I feel like in the networking space, it's awkward at moments. And I often think that there are people like Chris that might be in IT, but they really want to do photography or really want to do something else. What are your thoughts around how he introduced himself as the thing that he really wanted to do? And do you think that's important for people that want to go into entrepreneurship?
Honestly, I do think it's important because I honestly feel like there are so many people, and I'm spiritual, so Christian based. I think it's just so many people who are out of their purpose or their calling just because they don't know how to like monetize it in a certain type of way. So a lot of times you'll find people, and this is the reason why most of the time when you encounter people in their workspace, they're not happy because they're literally just there for the check. They're not in purpose. They're not driven. They're not really called to do this. You know what I mean? So as a result, they're not happy about it. So I think it is, I liked how he introduced himself as a photographer because again, he's just really, really passionate about that. So I think honestly, when you do go to these networking events, why not lead with the thing you actually want to do? Because what benefit will it really help if you're like, you tell your true job and you don't even really want to be promoted in it? You know what I mean? Like networking is the opportunity to meet other people who can connect you and take you to another place. So I would rather lead with what it is I'm actually trying to do versus my actual job. Because even now that I'm back in corporate, it's so many people like, so what do you actually do? Like, I don't even really, you know, like, I just know I'm there for like an interest-free loan. So it's like, it's something I don't even really want to talk about because I know it's not going to be long-term. You know what I mean? I'm in a position now where I'm just using corporate
for what I need. It went over the head. So you said you're currently in corporate because you are borrowing an interest-free loan. Say more about that.
Yeah. So like I said, about 9 months ago, I had quit corporate. I mean, I had a bye-bye corporate party and everything. I was like, I'm never coming back. I was like, I'm just going to invest my time.
Put the sleeve on.
I was like, I'm just going to invest my time in Shots by Nick. And I also have a studio, so it's the Experience Studio. I was like, I just want to be full-time, balls to the wall. I just only want to focus on this. I'm so done with corporate. Because I was just at a point where I was just mentally exhausted and drained. But as we know, life punches you. Like during this time, we had the craziest inflation. Gas prices in Atlanta was like almost $6, $7. Like the whole Russia thing. And if I'm being honest, at this point in my life, I've created a certain lifestyle. I'm used to being able to move and do certain type of things. By me taking this leap, yes, I was still financially savvy with it. And I told myself like, hey, you have this much money to get you through this many months. If by this time you're not making XYZ, then you're going to have to go back. You know what I mean? So it got to that point where it's just like, it doesn't make sense for me to struggle. I've still been blessed to have degrees and to be able to get a job. So why would I sit here and struggle? You know what I mean? When I know I can just go back. But I think now just the way that I approach corporate is so much different from before when I wasn't an entrepreneur. previously, you know, you were going, I was going above and beyond because I wanted to climb that corporate ladder. Mm-hmm. I wanted to, you know, I'll stay over, I'll do extra work and not get paid for it and all mm-hmm. that stuff just because I want my bosses who value in me and to promote me and stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm just not that motivated. Like, mm-hmm. I'm literally just want to show up. I'm still going to do the best of my ability. But once 4 o'clock hits, don't reach yet. I'm out. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not motivated to, like, I don't want to manage anybody. I just want to be responsible for Nikki, and that's it. So I literally had to just retrain my mind because going into it, I'm not going to lie, I felt like I failed. You know what I mean? I felt like, damn, I had that whole party. Everybody knows because I'm very transparent with my journey and stuff on social media. So everybody knew, like, damn, like, you know, Nikki quit her job. Like, she must be killing it, you know, money-wise, stuff like that. So to me, and also since I'm a business coach, it kind of made me feel like a failure. Like, how can I tell these people how to run their business and I'm not able to make the six figures off of my photography business? You know what I mean? But at the same time, you know, it's just life. Like, this is life and you have to deal with it. And I'm an adult and I'm a responsible adult at that. So I got to make decisions that are going to work for me.
Yep.
So I still went ahead, went back to corporate. And I just, like I said, tweaked my mindset, just viewing it as an interest-free loan. Like, so it's no need to get, like, have anxiety attacks or just be so invested in it. Like, it's just crazy. I see other people who this is their only form of income. They're just so invested in that job. And I just can never get back to that space. Because I know it's temporary.
You done tasted it.
It's temporary.
That's dope. That's dope. And so when you think about your journey as an entrepreneur, I think that we have a lot of talented people with a lot of good intention. But especially in our culture, I think that we have to be more intentional about creating legit businesses.
Sustainable.
Yes. And so as you have journeyed along this way, what would you look back 5 years ago and tell yourself and be like, if I could do this again, I would do that totally different? Or if you could tell somebody that is like wrestling with leaving corporate, going on to do their own thing, or if they just got a dope idea and they're sitting on it because they're unsure of how to take that next step, what is it that you feel like you need to do that thing or these things to create a sustainable business model?
Yeah. Because I ask myself that all the time. If I could redo this, what would I have done differently? I think the thing is, and honestly, in retrospect, I don't think that I could have changed it because it took quitting my job and relying on this thing for me to pivot my mindset. Because what I realized is basically, if your business or side hustle, if it's not full-time, it's a hobby. I don't care what anybody says. It is a hobby. Because the grind as an entrepreneur doing this thing full-time is completely different than somebody having a main nest egg and just doing this on the side. Because the biggest jump for me was, yes, like Shots by Nick was thriving, but I was also charging like $500 for a shoot. That is not sustainable to maintain my lifestyle. So in retrospect, or going at it for the second time, now my prices actually cover my expenses. I call it my noodle budget, basically. And this is something I think especially a lot of creatives don't do because they don't understand the business side of it. Like, you don't want to just go look and see what your competitors' prices are because you don't know how they came up with that price. You don't know if this person, you don't know if this photographer is doing this as a hobby or if he's feeding 4 kids. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a difference in price. So when you're like, oh, well, I'm seeing everybody averaging $250 to $500, you don't know what their bills are. You don't know what their overhead expense is. You don't know nothing. You don't know if this is just literally allowance. Like, because for me, I was happy with $500 because that was just on top of my corporate check. You know what I mean? So I was cool with that. But once I quit my job and I didn't have that nest egg, $500 ain't going to keep the lights on. It's just not going to keep the lights on.
Yeah.
So I would tell anybody before you decide to like jump out and try to do this full time, literally adjust your rates and stuff as if this was the only thing that could sustain you. Like literally implement your business policies and stuff like that in a way that you know this is the only thing that could sustain you. Because the other thing is sometimes you might negotiate your prices. If it's just a hobby, you might like lower your price, like who cares? But if you literally like this has to pay your light bill, you're not gonna be as willing to like bump down your prices and stuff like that. You just not. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be as flexible. So I would say literally look at your budget, your overhead expense, and really figure out, like, how much do I actually want to bring in profit a year? How mm-hmm. much do I need to sustain me, which is your noodle budget? And then how much do you want, like, some wiggle room, you know, some play money on top of that? And literally set your prices and everything accordingly. Do that from jump start. Like, mm-hmm. don't start it out as a hobby. Like, literally do this. That's look so at it as a business from the beginning.
That's good. That's good.
That's what I would say.
Wow. And when you make those adjustments, because I'm sure when you started with the 500, and some folks are like, man, I was booking Nikki, you know, two, three times a yep. quarter because she was this price. And then now you make this jump. Do you have conversations or people just got to go with the flow? How do you handle that?
So really, it kind of changed because, like I said, for me, at first, you know, at first I was working with people who looked at photography as a luxury. So this might be people like, oh, it's my birthday. It's a milestone mm-hmm. shoot. Bae gonna give me, you know, $200, $500 for this birthday shoot. Like, it wasn't a necessity. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So as a result, those people aren't really continuous, like, customers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, in order to sustain me, I need to move from the people who view photography as a luxury to a necessity. Mm-hmm. I need people who actually have money set aside every month because they have to have these photos in order for their business to survive. And because of that, that's why I was like, let me pivot to business owners and entrepreneurs and stop working with just like everyday people who just want like a birthday shoot or mm-hmm. a maternity shoot mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
So diving deeper on that, like branding is one of your things, like that's you. Yeah, so. And so when you think about that, what was different about your branding to be able to target those people that it is a necessity for versus, I'm going, mm-hmm. you know, my bachelor party.
So basically the thing that I have learned, and just as a marketer, if you want to attract high end customers, people are willing to pay, but those people are willing to pay for a solution. So you have to be the solution to their problem. So instead of just posting pretty pictures, I had to lead with value. How am I adding value to your business, or what can I bring to your business with my imagery and what it is that I'm offering? So by positioning myself as like a thought leader, as being an expert specifically for business owners who are, one, they might be looking to pivot and switch their target audience but don't know how to reach them, or they just feel like there's a disconnect with like their images because they've been using stock images and they're not able to really relate or create that authentic relationship with their target audience. Since I have a background in marketing and I understand that, like, I understand how to connect and engage with your true target audience, mixed with the fact that I'm a photographer, I'm able to basically tie strategy and photography together to help you better relate to your target customer.
You talking heavy right now. Talking heavy. And so when you think about like offering those solutions and having a very specific and niched audience, are you okay with not being for everybody? Like, does that feel better for you in terms of like how you plan your business and how you forecast over the next 3-5 years? Is it easier that way when you're not taking in everybody?
Yeah, I agree. I think because a lot of people ask me about the whole niching down, I view it like dating somebody. Is it easier to date 3 people or 1 person?
One.
And why?
I mean, it's only, I got to meet their needs. I ain't got to worry about, you know, 2 other people and so on and so forth.
Uh-huh. And it's easier because when you can focus your attention on one, it's easier to know their likes, their dislikes, versus trying to serve everybody. Mm-hmm. And just think about it. When you try to post or something like that, say, for instance, if you wrote a card or a love note or something like that, and you were trying to get everybody's attention, somebody would feel like left out. You see what I'm saying? Because it's not directly to them. When you can speak directly to a person's like pain points, that's when they latch on. Cause they like, man, she know exactly. They feel seen. You know what I mean? They feel seen and they like, dang, this is the person who I want to answer my problems. Cause she already knew all my symptoms. She knew everything that was going on. I want to work with that person.
That's good. That's good. Like. That's good. And so when you think about like making that step from going to, I'm going to help you get images because you got janky images and you're trying to put them on your website. Mm-hmm. Now I'm actually going to take this on. I'm going to shoot. Mm-hmm. Then I evolve even more to where I'm working with business owners that are branding. Mm-hmm. Do you have a next step that is already in mind, or are you like going as deep as possible with working with entrepreneurs?
I think at this point, and it's funny because, like, I have a business coach now, and I was just telling her because when I decided to, like, niche down and pivot, the thing that I was missing, though, is because she could see my Instagram account. She could see before and after because I didn't archive all my other stuff. And she was just like, I noticed, like, you have, like, a whole bunch of – it's like you battling yourself. You got this, like, super creative editorial stuff, but then you have, like, the cookie-cutter brand stuff. Like, what do you actually want to do? And I'm telling her, in the best world – I could combine both of them. But I was like, the difference between those editorial creative stuff is those are with models and the branding is with real people. Mm-hmm. When I'm working with models, I can be a photographer and just focus on, you know, lighting, concept and stuff like that. I don't have to sit there and give them a pose or make them feel confident because this is what they do. So I was just like, the thing that I'm trying to do now within this space, because I still want it to be fun and I still want to bring eye-catching visuals. I want to bring like the True Shots by Nick Element to it. Now I'm trying to make it to where these branding shoots are disruptive. Like, I want it to be disruptive. I don't want it to be just like, oh, I got my coffee mug. You know how it's very just like stereotypical branding shoots. I actually just did my first one with my business coach. Just she allowed me to do free reigns and to like really do what it is that I do. And I think when people start seeing these images and see how she's going to be able to disrupt her industry with these, I think more people will gravitate to that. Because I think we're just in a time now, especially as Black entrepreneurs, we're looking to be disruptive. That's why you have people like Pinky with Slutty Vegan and stuff like that. And they're really, people are really like gravitating towards the people who can own their story and really stand up as their true authentic self and not what America has like painted the picture or the narrative of a Black entrepreneur and what we look like.
And so when I think about Black excellence, I think about Atlanta. And in a lot of senses, like you can go on Instagram and go to photography, specifically Black photographers, and a lot of it is going to be based in Atlanta. So when you talk about being disruptive, would you say that is like what sets you apart from other photographers? Or is there something else that is like, I can look at that and I know that's Nikki? Or is there a thing that sets you apart?
I would say just stepping into this industry, the thing that made a lot of people really gravitate to me, even other photographers, business owners, is literally my brand. Because the way that I show up on my platforms or anything is different than your average photographer. Let's face it, most photographers don't even like to show their face. Their profile picture is a picture of a model. And for me, like, I'm coming at this as a business, like with the MBA and a marketing background. So I understand the importance of making a first impression with your visuals, like, period. So I think for me, that's kind of how I've disrupted the industry, is just the way that I go about marketing myself. And I see other photographers like following my footprints or my blueprint. And I also want to help them because, again, a lot of creatives struggle with creating a sustainable business because they are just a creative and not truly an entrepreneur because they don't know the business side of it.
And when you talk about that business side of it, what was the most shocking part about it for you when you took that step, you started shooting? Like, what was the biggest adjustment from going to like, I like to shoot and I like to help people look better and create better images? But when I think about the business side of it, was there anything that was like, dang, I didn't know I had to do all of this? Or do you see a lot of other photographers that are struggling with like specific pain points in business?
Yeah, I would say like one, when it comes to photography, is unlike any other industry. I think we are constantly trying to prove our value and negotiate our rates. And this is mostly due to the fact of the improvements of technology. A lot of people see their iPhone. You know how you can take an amazing photo by just pressing a button. They think a camera is the same way. They don't understand that us professional photographers, we're not shooting in automatic mode. We're sitting over here manipulating the exposure triangle by using manual mode. Like, they don't understand all of the elements that we're doing in real time. They don't understand that we're, not only are we a photographer, we're a creative director, we're a gaffer, we're controlling light, we're your hype man and motivational source, we're your posing coach. Like, we literally do so many things that we're undervalued and underpaid. But back to your question, like, what is the one source of thing that most photographers don't understand? I think they don't understand the importance of relationship and an amazing customer experience from the minute that they book you on your site to the minute you send them the photos.
Say more.
basically, I think a lot of photographers, like, they don't have a good automation or workflow system. They don't have a CRM. So they don't even, if you wanted to, like, pull your customers and send them an email, they don't have the email address. You know what I mean? Like, just different things like that. Or just understanding the importance of a website. Most photographers just post their portfolio and then they're mad when they don't attract high value customers. High volume customers are looking for a solution, not just a photo. What is it you're offering? What are you doing different in your whole experience that this photographer isn't doing? You know what I mean? Most people aren't good with communicating their message and what it is that they want and who they want to attract.
That's good. And so when you talk about that form of business, I can't help but to think about the Experience Studios. How did that come about? Who's involved? And, like, what is the importance of collaboration? Because in this space, I think that we would do so much more together. But it's hard. Period. It's hard. And so, like, how were you able to, like, create these relationships? How were y'all able to come together? I'm sure there have been, like, some tug and pull and maybe some friction. But y'all are still in it, and y'all have accomplished a lot because of it. So just talk about that.
Yeah, so basically with Experience Studios, it all started with just, it was a handful of us photographers who were all renting out at another studio that offered, like, studio memberships, but it was just too overbooked. We could barely even get in there because it was just so many people trying to book the time. So it was like, hey guys, how much are you willing to put up a month? Let's just get our own studio, and just us can shoot in that studio space. So our first studio was actually the goat studio that we had at the goat farm or whatnot. After we were there, we were kind of like, all right, we need more space. Each of us, because I think at that time, some of us were more outdoor photographers, so we weren't really shooting in studio that much because we hadn't learned it. And I know, like, me and Keith, we pretty much, we specialize in shooting outside. But once we got that studio, we was like, well, we need to learn how to shoot in studio. So basically our clientele picked up because, of course, we, by being in the presence of those other photographers who really did specialize in studio, we were able to sharpen our skill sets and level up there. So we were able to get more customers who wanted to actually shoot in studio. And I think the same was for everybody. And because of that, since our volume of clientele increased, we were like, we need a bigger space. So we went into Experience Studios, again, just wanting a bigger space for all of us to just pay monthly and have a space to, like, shoot at. But once we realized that we had to lock into, like, a 4-year contract type thing, then we were like, okay, so some people might need to do ownership, like, because this is a commitment. So it was just kind of like they opened it up to, like, hey, if you want ownership, then you need to put this amount in. If you don't want to be an owner, then you can just pay, like, a monthly fee or whatever. So certain ones of us decided to, you know, do the ownership. The other ones decided to just be members. And that's pretty much how that started. So it's not like we even went into Experience Studios thinking it would be a full-fledged business. We thought it would just be, again, another us just having the space to, like, pay a monthly fee and just shoot. Not so much renting it out to everybody else. That pretty much came into its own once certain people had to become owners and the other ones decided to become members.
Gotcha. How many of y'all is it?
So it's basically four of us that own the Experience Studios. So with the Experience Studios, it's also in partnership with Expensive Skin Studios, which houses our makeup artists. But they're their own separate entity. So they have two owners, which is Marquise and Yannick. They own that side.
Are you the only female photographer in this?
Yeah, so I'm the only female. But this is a male-dominated industry.
Do you find yourself, like, with this chip on your shoulder trying to prove yourself? Not necessarily with the people you work with, but just in the industry itself of, like, women do this too?
To be honest, no. Because I feel like, again, I'm an athlete, so I play basketball my whole life. This is my life. we're always... I just don't feel any competition because honestly, when it comes to photography, I think it's women photographers get the best of both worlds. Most women don't like shooting with males because of previous things that may have happened. Sometimes male photographers get a bad rep. So they actually prefer to shoot more with women. So we actually kind of got a leg up in that, you know, photography wise. But I don't really see it as like, I'm not trying to compete with nobody though. Cause I just feel like I've carved my own lane. I do what I do and that's it.
And so like when you have an actual venue, that's like a whole nother layer to business.
it's a whole nother business.
Is that, do you find that to be Does that take more of your time and energy, or is it more so the back end of your photography?
I will say that does take like a lot of time and energy. Just anytime you have like a brick and mortar space, you got to worry about people damaging things. You got to worry about making sure that there's staff to like oversee it, because, you know, with us, my other business owner, we're all busy. Like, you know what I mean? We all are trying to, some of us are full-time entrepreneurs. Then me and Chad both have like a corporate job on top of doing like our own photography careers and stuff like that. So I would say the hardest part is just managing members, managing your staff, just managing the space. Just, it is time consuming. I would say that.
That's cool. Where is it located?
So it's located on 781 Willis Street, literally 5 minutes from the Trap Museum here in Atlanta.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope. Cool. And so we talked a little bit about team and how you come together to collaborate. I want to talk a little bit about money. When you think about, for you, you got this nest egg that you're accustomed to, right? And yep. That is like the number that makes you feel good. When you think about people that are working in the corporate space or whatever space they may be in and they want to make that jump, is there anything practical of how they should approach saving this money before they take that step? Or is it like to each his own and whatever your lifestyle is, you can kind of go with that flow? Or are there like specific business expenses, like coming up with your LLC and website, these things that you can be like, I can actually put a dollar amount on how much you need as a business owner to get started?
So are you saying for somebody who wants to start a business, mm-hmm. or someone who wants to quit their job that has been running a side hustle and wants
start
to quit
their business?
Oh, to start their business. Yeah. And this is a person who has a full-time job. Mm-hmm. I can't put the exact dollar amount on it, just because I don't know it off the top of my head. But small things like a LLC, like, hell, when we talking about photography, that ain't nothing. Like, a camera body and a lens, like, the actual equipment costs more than, like,
than the
that little back-end stuff that you're talking about. Yeah. I think the key is just, if you're looking to start, you just want to start off small. So I would start off, the first thing, before you even start thinking about an LLC, you need to see if you actually like doing this. So I would say on the photography side of things, get like a used camera body, get used lenses. Don't invest everything until you know, like, okay, no, this is taking off. Now I can invest in it. This is what I truly want to do. Because people will ask me all the time, I'll have beginners like getting the same camera body as me. And it's like, why? Why are you spending like thousands of dollars and you don't even know if this is something you'll like? My first camera was probably like $300 something, like, because the key is, when it comes to photography, it's all about learning your actual body anyways. Like, you can have an amazing camera and all this stuff, but if you don't know how to use it, it don't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. So I think, just for someone who wants to start, I think the key is, first, you have to find out if you actually like it. And I don't, like, I'm not, like I said, I'm not big on wasting my money or investing my money until I know it's something that I can, like, that I truly passionate about and I can take it far. So I would say, to just to start off on, get on like Facebook Marketplace, KEH, get like a used camera body or used lenses and see if you actually like it first.
And then if you don't, you can, you won't be out of your whole life safe.
That part.
But I do want to, like, you made a good point. You made me think about something, is that, there was a point in time where I was shooting a little bit, or I would do videography a little bit, and people would like try to negotiate those rates. And I'm thinking in my head, like, do you know how much I paid
for just the camera?
For just the camera? You know what I'm saying? And like, I might be on site and I'm switching out lenses and I'm thinking, like, I got this lens I done paid for, this lens I done paid for. Like, people don't understand how much money goes into photography, and it's kind of frustrating to somebody like you.
It's very frustrating.
Cause I mean, yeah, that's a whole another story. Y'all pay your photographers.
Pay them their price. Yes. Stop trying to negotiate our rates. We set the price at a certain price for a reason.
Yes. Yes. Jeez. Okay. That's good. So I do this thing, right? And I'm gonna give you this marker. And I blow up a balloon.
Okay.
And on that balloon, I want you to write one word or one phrase that you feel like stands in between people and their goals. So if I'm working corporate, I strongly desire to walk away from this thing because I got this thing that has been doing pretty well. Side hustle has been building, but I got this, whatever you decide to write on this balloon, standing in between me and actually walking away. Or it might be something less dramatic than that. You know, somebody might decide, hey, I want to go on Facebook Marketplace and I want to test this out to see if I can get me a used camera. But for whatever reason, they never pull the trigger on it. And then 5-10 years from now, they'll be saying the same thing. So I want you to think about that word or that phrase. And when I blow this balloon up, I'm going to let you write that on the balloon. And then I'm going to pop it because we're going to take the air out of it.
All righty.
That was pretty good. Some nice penmanship.
Do I? I probably should have put it at the bottom. Okay.
So hopefully y'all can see that fear of failure.
Yeah.
That's good. I wrote a book, Your Purpose is Your Platform. And in that book, I talk about three fears, and one of them is the fear of failure. But say more. What do you mean?
I mean, ultimately, the reason people like are scared to try things or get out of their comfort zone is because they're scared of fear. And for a lot of people, fear can look like embarrassment. It can look like self-doubt. It's just an uncomfortable position to be in, but people who are successful are people who aren't scared of failure. They just know fear is part of the process or the journey. I see failure as one step closer to a win.
Do you feel like when you have failed, like you have, it's always a learning experience?
Oh yeah, it's definitely. Because when you win, is it ever really a learning experience? You don't really get many lessons out of a win.
Yeah. That's crazy. I could tell a lot of stories about that. But we're going to take the life out of that, and we're going to hope that people can get over those fears or even deal with them and go through it anyway. Mm-hmm. And so, nice pop. Right. Again, make sure y'all subscribe to the page, but where can people find you? How can they book you for the right price?
That part.
Tell them how they can get in touch.
So you guys can pretty much follow me on all social media platforms. It's Shots by Nick. Or you can visit my website to book at www.shotsbynick.com. And again, my little booking process is pretty easy. So the easiest way to book is to do it through my inquiry form on my contact page. And it's pretty much automated. So you'll get an instant reply.
Heard that. I appreciate you doing this again. Fingers crossed that the audio is right. But all good.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yep.